Cause I was built for you. Yes, I was built to carry all your feelings. Cause I won't let them know, I won't let you go, baby. I don't care what your past is, I don't need no answers. Just have faith in me. Don't you know your secret's safe with me? Can be put to sleep. Don't you know your secret's safe with me? All your worries can be put to sleep.
This is DJ Risque. You are listening to Coping on the Court. This is my segment. We are live Tuesdays and Thursdays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. My segment is typically about, you know, basketball, everything basketball. Well, not everything. It's relating to how we're going to deal with the stress and, you know, coping on the court. And that's every aspect of our life, not just on the court itself, but athletically and academically, keeping our bodies healthy. That is the most important thing for student athletes, is we've got to keep our bodies, you know, mentally and physically, you know, ready for competition, ready, you know, for the game, ready for all the tests, you know, ready for day-to-day life. And today I'd like to just due to the fact that it is November and we're getting into holidays and also starting up the basketball season, we've got our first basketball game on Tuesday. Dominican jerseys and all, and that's something. That's a wake up call for me. You know, it's starting. It's all here, and I don't know. I'm thrilled and excited and nervous and scared and, you know, all of the above. But it's a good thing, you know, starting to reap some of the benefits of all the hard work that we put in, you know, as student athletes. You know, the first, especially for basketball, our first month or two of school is just, you know, mostly school. And it's you know, we've got practice, but it's not like full practice, and then it's not you know, it's mostly a school in the beginning few months, because, you know, we've got practice, but it's nothing like when season starts. And it's not even season starts as in the games, but primarily practice. Even practice for us here, it took a drastic change. We went from, you know, 2 weeks to, I mean, 2 days a week to, or 3 days to 6 days. And it's taxing emotionally, mentally, physically. And it's exciting. I mean, I just can't wait till, you know, it's not our team, you know, just beating each other up. You know, it's we actually have somebody else, you know, to go against. We have an opponent, you know, somebody that we can put our heads together and attack them. And back to what I was saying, because it is November, And I'm thinking about, you know, how the season is starting. And we've actually got a game the day after Thanksgiving. So that means that on Thanksgiving, I will be in a bus with my teammates and we will be heading to a tournament. And that brings up my topic, you know. It's kind of a mixture of things. It's, you know, the stress and the anxiety and kind of the pressures and what happens to people during holidays and, you know, what being lonely can do to these people. And I just find it very interesting because, you know, as I was preparing my show for today, I asked one of my friends, you know, what, you know, give me, what would you think a good show would be about, you know? And she mentioned to me, she said, I think it would be interesting if you did a show on the effects of, you know, holidays and what that does for, you know, college students that maybe can't get home or, you know, regardless, anybody that can't, that either doesn't have a family to go to have, you know, Thanksgiving in the holidays, or it's just somebody far away. You don't have the funds to make it a good holiday or something. I don't know, but I just thought that was interesting because, you know, even myself, you know, I've never had, you know, the big family Thanksgiving, you know, like they portray it to me on the TV. You know, you've got 10, 15 people, all your family sitting around the table, you know, you're all eating your food and having a grand old time, you know. It's funny because that's not really the reality for people, for all people, and I think it's interesting that that it's still portrayed that way, you know. And just think about, one thing that gets me is I come from a divorced family, so, and it was is interesting that I never really understood, and when I was young, that you know, even I lived with my mom a full time, and I would go visit my dad on the holidays, and it was interesting to see that you know, what would my mom do? I mean, I could only wonder and imagine what she would do when I wasn't there, and it's just interesting. It makes me feel sad sometimes, and when I think about, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. It kind of makes me sad, but you know, I guess that we all have to do the things, and I can only imagine, you know, I don't want to say, I don't know. I apologize. It's hard to come up with the words because it's like when I think about that, when I think about, you know, maybe my mom's experience and I'm not sure. I just thinking about her and why, you know, how did she get through the things that she did and how she where she's at, you know, and it's interesting to know that. You know, it's not always, I don't know, maybe it breaks my heart that we can't always be, like, I would have, now that I think about it, I would have chosen every, you know, I would have been with her every Thanksgiving, every chance that I could have had, I would have. And, it's funny because now that I have to be gone for Thanksgiving, and literally I don't have a choice to, you know, either be with my family because, you know, I'm a scholarship athlete. I kind of am property to the school, you know. I mean, I come here, I play on the team, I represent Dominican, and so it's kind of funny because there is no choice, and it's funny because I will be spending, you know, my Thanksgiving, you know, this is a time where you're supposed to give thanks to the people that you care about most, and it's funny, you know. You gotta be somewhere where, I don't know, you don't really know anybody, and you gotta share your thanks and love for them. It's, I don't know, it's silly. I don't know. I guess it's 2 years, two short years of my life, but, you know, it would have been cool to, you know, have my first Thanksgiving with my fiance, or, you know, like my first family Thanksgiving with my mom and my fiance, and that just would be nice. And it's funny how things work to me. When I think about, like, what about just the students here, like, I wonder what percent of them actually will be able to go home. Like, I wonder if maybe I should look into that, doing a study to see how many, you know, how many kids are going to be able to go home to their families, or how many, you know, how many people get to, I don't know, even with a bunch of their friends, you know, like if they potlucked or something, where they can, I don't know, we'd all bring something. I know I've seen that before, and I don't know, just like a bunch of my friends have done before, and I don't know, maybe that way. Or I wonder how many students here are actually going to be, you know, alone, and that makes me kind of sad, because I hope that, you know, I know that I will be on a bus with my team, but that's still, I mean, that's still not alone. I mean, even if I don't prefer, I don't know, to be around those people, at least, I mean, I will be around people, and so I guess we've got to be grateful for the little things, I suppose, because, I mean, what else? It's I know that it's so Thanksgiving. We've got the 25th through the 27th off. So I wonder if there will be any students that that don't really get to go home, or a couple of days. I wonder, you know, how many, like our foreign students, how many of them, you know, get to go home, and when they would be able to, I don't know, see their families. And I hope that, you know, that at least they have people, like at least a base, you know, at least somebody, I don't know, that makes me, I don't know, I do apologize, I'm going to switch the topic, because it kind of makes me ramble. But another thing that I looked at as I was looking up, you know, I'm looking up statistics for what happens to people, you know, I really wanted to see the effects, like, physically and emotionally, because I think that's interesting that, you know, if you've ever heard that elephants can actually die from a broken heart, like loneliness. I watched this documentary once, and this wildlife rescued a baby elephant, and not after too long, one of the main people taking care of this baby elephant, she actually had to go on a trip. I don't recall what it was for, but in the time that she was gone, the elephant had so much separation anxiety that he died, and that broke my heart. It was just crazy. After not too long, this little elephant was attached to this human. It must be attachments, you know. And it's incredible, because I actually I was doing more research on the fact, and I wanted to see how it affected humans, because I never really thought that, you know, a human could die from a broken heart. Like, when you think about it, it's like, I don't know. You think sadness could really break somebody's heart? Like, I don't know. It's interesting to think about. But as you look at the research, it's I don't know. It's pretty revealing. A lot of studies. I mean, I've looked through about, you know, a couple handful, and I mean, they all pretty much say the same thing, and it's, you know, this one hit it pretty well. It's called Loneliness: 5 Things You May Not Know. It's from CNN. I mean, every website isn't the most, they all have bias, let's put it that way. So one thing that I thought was very interesting when I was looking this up is it may affect loneliness. The effects of loneliness may affect your brain in the ways similar to pain. And I was like, oh my God, you know, that was very interesting to me. And it says a remarkable study led by Naomi Eisenberger, an associate professor of social psychology at UCLA, found that being excluded, which can push you to the social perimeter and as a result cause feelings of loneliness, triggered activity in some of the same regions in the brain that register physical pain. So, I mean, when you think about that, I mean, there's all types of feelings, you know, make us feel such a way, you know, if we see something sad, you know, you're happy and they smile. It's weird that something that a feeling could give you physical pain, like that literally just blew my mind. And that, you know, obviously, I mean, we would never know. So here's what's more, from an evolutionary perspective, this makes sense. Our prehistoric ancestors rely on social groups, not just for companionship, but for survival. Staying close to the tribe brought access to shelter, food, and protection. Separation from the group, on the other hand, meant danger. And not only, obviously, not only physically, but mentally, because if you're not part of the group, I mean, I know personally that, you know, people, as people, we thrive on having a purpose, you know. We are, that's what makes us go, you know, what's our purpose, you know, what are we going to do, who are we going to impact, you know. I feel like the biggest piece of failure is people maybe believing that, you know, they don't have a purpose, or what they're doing isn't, you know, like, job appreciation, you know, what I'm doing isn't making me feel good. And back to the groups, not individuals, for survival. It says, today when we feel left out, our bodies may sense a threat to survival, and some of the same pain signals that would engage if we were in real physical pain danger are flipped on. In the chronically lonely levels of stress hormone, cortisol shoot up higher in the morning than in socially connected people that never fully subside at night. So it's like, for somebody that, you know, maybe, you know, goes to bed just wishing, I don't know, they could talk to, that's horrible for me. I feel like I would always be a person for somebody to, you know, I would never want to see somebody hurt like that, just to say that, oh, I'm just so lonely, I'm actually in physical pain. But it's like you can't shut your mind off, so you're constantly, like, even for me personally, I don't even feel like lonely is all about, I'm surrounded by hundreds of people each day and thousands of people each day, but I mean, I still feel lonely. I could have conversations with people, you know, all day long, but it's got to be stimulating, and it's got to, you know, reach your level. And like for me, no matter, I could take, you know, I've got prescribed sleeping pills, and like those mornings where I'll wake up more tired than I went to bed, and it's like, yeah, you can, you know, you can take a pill and it'll shut your body off, you know, it'll subdue you, but, you know, your mind's not going to shut down, your mind's not going to subside, you know, you're not going to fully be able to recover, and because your mind is not sleeping, you're not, you know, your body is knocked out, but your mind is still going, and I can understand how that would make the mornings a lot more difficult, because you just wake up more tired and more stressed and more lonely than you were before. And that's exactly the next point on this this website, is it can keep you from getting a good night's sleep. It says people who feel lonely tend to experience more nighttime sleep disruptions than those who don't. Researchers found that a link between sleep disruptions and loneliness persisted even after marital status and family size were taken into account, suggesting that loneliness depends on how people perceive their social situation rather than its situation itself. So that's exactly it with, you know, job appreciation, you know. You've got to feel like what you're doing, you know, makes you feel good, gives you a purpose. Another thing loneliness can be, it says, it can give you an increased risk of dementia. That's interesting. It's I wonder how that works. Study participants were ages 65 to 86, did not show signs of dementia, and did not live in institutions such as nursing homes. About half lived alone, and 20% reported feeling lonely. Nearly two-thirds were women. So it's interesting that, you know, mostly women are feeling this. And it's interesting because even I was looking up stress during the holiday times, it was increased as well. But I've actually got to take a quick break. I've gone over a little too long, so I'll be right back.
Lips won't let me go. Hold on. tight. Them hips won't let me go. Don't let this go to your head, but you're the best I've ever had. Not to mention that thing is swollen. You got me all so in a trance. Something like a ziplock, put a lip lock. Once you wrapped around my arm like a wristwatch. Oh, so hard walking out, got me stuck like crazy glue. Ooh, yeah, hold on tight. Yeah, hold on tight. Hold it, hold on tight. Them lips won't let me go.
Lips won't let me go. Lips won't let me go.
Yeah, hold on tight.
Yeah, hold on tight.
Yeah, hold on tight. Hold it, hold on tight. Them lips won't let me go. Places where I'd rather be instead.
You don't know your strength.
Missing you is like adrenaline. Ooh, when you got me in a gridlock. What a great spot. Got the turned up kind of love and it just won't stop. So hard walking out. Got me stuck like crazy glue. Ooh-wee. Yeah, hold on tight. Yeah, hold on tight. Ooh, then hold on tight. Them lips won't let me go. So don't mind if I turn away. No, no, I try to maintain. So don't mind if I turn away. Ooh, then hold on tight. Then hold on tight. Ooh, then hold on tight. Them lips won't let me go.
But I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time. Cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot. Have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. And by once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times.
Alright, DJ Risqué is back. That was two songs. Well, a little bit of both. One was a little bit shorter. It was Justin Bieber, Hold Tight, and part of Justin Bieber, Sorry. Those are two songs that, you know, I've recently listened to, and I apologize. Being here, you know, I'm starting to listen to more interesting music, you know, a more variety, you know, seeing what, you know, I like and what's interesting. And, you know, it's pretty interesting, you know, it's how even when we are put in situations where, you know, like change and growth occur, still how, you know, even our styles of music, maybe even, you know, how we like to dress, like I really, at Dominican, it makes me feel really good when I get to dress, you know, like dress to feel good about myself, and that makes me, it makes me feel really good, you know. And that's why I typically always just, you know, I'm always walking around campus, and I've got my, you know, I've just got music playing, and just, I don't know, feeling good. It's interesting to see how it all really works, and see how, you know, our style and what dresses affects us in our mood. But getting back to our show today, you are listening to Coping on the Court with DJ Risqué. And I'd like just get back to the, I was just making some points about how, not necessarily just student athletes, but, you know, all people, how, you know, maybe the holidays aren't so sweet, you know, maybe, I don't know, you don't get to go home for the holidays, or, you know, the vacations, and how that may make us feel. And I was just looking at a couple studies of how possibly, because in my personal experience, I haven't always, you know, I've always come from a divorced home. So it's interesting when, you know, when the holidays come around, how it all works, and how the dynamic of, you know, parties and families and all your friends, and the expectation of, you know, the holiday to be this perfect, bubbly, wonderful place. And it's in some cases, it's not always true. It's really not. And for some people, there's not a lot of sweet, or, you know, a lot of sunshine, because maybe they stress that, maybe, you know, at Dominican especially, maybe the amount of foreign students that we have, you know, it makes me sad to think that, you know, maybe one of them will be alone, and not even I can, you know, be there for them, because I will be myself will be on a bus for what I believe of most of my Thanksgiving. We've got a basketball tournament. I'm not really sure where, but I certainly know that I will find out sooner than later, because that is coming up on Thanksgiving. And I really, I'm nervous to see, you know, how that's going to play out. And especially being in what I think is going to be a stressful situation. You know, I've never really been in a situation where I was taken away from really my only home base for a holiday, other than, I remember when, I don't remember if it was after Thanksgiving or after Christmas, but I worked at Black Friday. I don't remember which one that is, that's how much I care. But I remember I was working at Old Navy, and I got to have the Thanksgiving, but then I didn't get to go to bed that night because I had to go to work. But that was the closest thing. I had to go to bed just a little bit early. But this year I actually will be, you know, taken out, and I don't know, it makes me sad. I hope that my fiance and my mom can have, you know, Thanksgiving together, and maybe some experience some good times together. It's hard. I don't really, it's hard, you know. There's always an added stress with holidays, and that's another thing that I found in when I was doing my research, is the silly things that actually stress people out during the holidays. And I was looking on some very interesting ones, and I guess they're not really interesting. I guess it's more common sense. Like if sorry, excuse me. Like if somebody was hosting, my family. If say my family from states away was coming over for a party, and my mom haven't had people over in a while, and she had to, you know, do all the cooking and do all the cleaning and go shopping and all the things that, you know, really go into having a good, or what people think is going into a good holiday, and spending all the money, and I don't know, what I feel like is mostly unnecessary things. I guess some people really like those things, and really, and that is what makes their holiday a tradition. The little things that maybe causes them the most stress gives them the biggest sense of, you know, satisfaction. And another thing that I always think about is, you know, during Thanksgiving, and it's like when my mom is always cooking, and you know, it's what about when we're all done, and, you know, we're all fat and happy in a food coma, and I always look at my mom, and I don't know, it's interesting how, you know, the women in our lives, And well, that's what half of these studies say, is more than half of the time women are the ones that are the most stressed out during the holidays, because it's always I don't know, I feel like women take a lot of the responsibility for, you know, cleaning and cooking and making sure everything is, and I'm dating a woman, and still, I mean, I cook, I clean, I, you know, and that's what's funny is, well, now I'm a student, but when I was living with her at home, we both were working, but she works more full time. She works at a vet clinic, so she works a little bit more full time. And I mean, I'd still, you know, if I was home more, I'd still be, you know, cooking and cleaning, making sure there's a meal, you know, when she got home. And that was, you know, that's very satisfying, you know. It's well, for me anyway, knowing that when my girlfriend gets off work and I know that she's been working hard, that, you know, she's gonna have something to eat, or, you know, something positive to come home to, so she doesn't have to, you know, keep that stress of the day on her shoulders. And I would never want that for my wife. I mean, that's if it was something simple, you know, to take away a lot of anxiety and built up stress from, you know, the workplace or whatever, I feel like I would do that. And I feel like maybe that's why a lot of people do what they do. But back to me holiday stress, oh, there we go. I found a. This was from allonehealth.net, and it's just a statistic. And it was these are the things that stress were normally caused by during the whole time. During the holidays, and it's a lack of money, you know, to buy whatever it has to be, the food, the gifts, the decorations, shopping, the decisions, and the deadlines. So not only you have to plan it, but then you have to execute the plan. So I can only imagine with all, you know, if you really think about what are the typical things that we have at, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you're going to have, that's crazy. It's probably everybody's level different, but let's go for mine. I always have, every time, it's always, you know, the turkey. And then you have, sometimes I make a little ham. My brother likes ham, and, always mashed potatoes and green beans. And she always makes stuffing, but she's the only one that eats it. I always think that's funny. Cranberry sauce, and man, what am I missing? Well, obviously the pumpkin pie, but that's after. And really, I think it's hard to make a good pumpkin pie, so I think we've always ever bought them. To be honest, I think we've always bought them. So the decisions and the deadlines, I can imagine it being a little bit difficult. You know, for somebody, especially a woman, if, you know, you've got to plan all this by your own, and then your significant other doesn't really have an opinion, and they're kind of just like, yeah, do whatever makes you happy. And I could see how that would, you know, be a little bit stressful, and kind of make it a little bit more difficult, I would say. And some more things that bring on the holiday stress, well, the parties, the strained family relation. So that's exactly, you know, you've got family far away. Like, for me personally, my mom and I live in California. That's the only relatives of ours that live in California. Her brother is in Oregon. Her sister and mom are in Arizona. And, you know, the other half of my family is in Montana. So, it's interesting when you've got all your family all over, and, you know, even, I don't know, even sending them, like a Halloween card. I mean, not Halloween, I'm sorry. Like a Thanksgiving card, you know, or something like that. I mean, my mom's brother, my uncle, would always send us, you know, Happy Thanksgiving from us, and it'd be the little kids, you know, little baby kids. And, I mean, that was always cute and nice. I could see how that would be a stressor for the mum, though. And, you know, getting those little kids in the little outfits, take the little pictures. So another thing that is a big stressor is the pressure to please the family members and friends, to have a perfect holiday. So, obviously, that would not make anybody very happy if, you know, they just they're sitting there wondering, you know, is it going to be perfect? Is it going to work out perfectly? Is everybody going to like what I make? Is everybody going to, you know, I don't know, take their shoes off when they get in the front door, you know, worst case scenario? Are we going to run out of blah, blah, blah? And I could see all the stress, but imagine if, I don't know, she had some help. Samoa is also, there we go, the media's bombardment of being happy. So it's like, I know almost everybody watches TV other than college students, because what TV and what time do we have? But all the ads on TV that always say, you know, get this, it's going to be the next best thing, or you see all the commercials. Like, I know around this time, like, all of the department stores, like, they have all of their fall deals and sweaters and scarves and wee boots and stuff. And all the ads, it's always, you know, the families that are all laughing and giggling together and having a good old time. And it's interesting to see, you know, I could imagine if it was, you know, and I always go back to my own experience when it was just me and my mom on Thanksgiving. You know, we've had at least a dozen, you know, Thanksgivings where it's just me and her. And, you know, and that's what's funny is that's what you make traditions, you know, like, the past, and I think that's just what's going to kill me the most is my mom and I always do, you know, the run to feed the hungry in Sacramento. And we've done it for like, I want to say like 8 years in a row. And I don't even have the option to go. I don't, like, I just felt so good. We could never pay for it. But just the fact that we were, you know, we were there, like, we were part of the people that, I don't know, wanted to, I don't know, see, that's purpose. That's, you know, doing something on a holiday that, you know, gives people purpose. You know, it's not even about, you know, my mom and I, on Thanksgiving, we made a bunch of food in paper bags, and we found homeless people to give it to. You know, it's making the most out of the situations, not necessarily, you know, having all the things that they say that you need. It's just making something good out of it, you know. And I think that's what's important, and I never let my mom cook alone. Well, obviously, because she was just cooking for the both of us, so that would have been really unfortunate, I'm sure, for the both of us, because she would have been more angry, and I probably would have felt like a bad child, you know, making my mom just sit there and do it all by herself. But also, you know, if going back to, you know, the stresses of the holidays, you know, imagine going out, even trying to think of buying something, you know, and either you don't have the funds, or if you don't have the funds and you see, you know, what if you see, this is it, Kia says, happy smiling families and friends enjoying the holiday festivities. You know, how, that's, it frustrates me more than anything that's somebody's stress. Like, personally, one of my own my dearest nightmare, like, it makes me cry every time if I drive by a park and there is a father, any kind of father, it could be a big brother, I don't care, pushing a child on a swing, you know, seeing a father with their kid at the park. Like, I don't know if it's a stressor for me or like a breakdown, or I don't know, but you know, that could be the same type of thing. You know, like, you're out shopping at the store for Thanksgiving and you see a big family, you know, and they're all laughing and giggling about, you know, whatever they have in their basket, like, oh, what are we gonna make? Or I could see how somebody alone, you know, it would hurt a lot. And man, I really wish there was something like, I wish there was like places, like people that maybe were single and like they knew they were going to be single for the rest of their lives, you know, type thing, like they're just bitter and miserable. What if they made, like, I don't know, places where everybody were like that went and they all just had big get-togethers or something, I don't know, and just getting creative here, but maybe I'll look into that one day, a place where, you know, people can go where they make it like a huge dinner, I don't know. They probably have those like Salvation Army all over the world, but I don't know, it'd be more interesting. I wonder the amount of people that actually sit at home instead of going to those places, just a fear of going alone, you know. That's I guess since we're already here, I'll continue, you know, somebody that was lonely like that, I was right before I started my show, I was reading this this one study, and it was about a man, not a study, I'm sorry, a story about a man, and he recently got separated, divorced, and he went to, I'm sorry, why am I drawing a blank? Valentine's Day, and recently broke up. He went to their favorite Italian spot and ordered his favorite meal, and instead of putting Parmesan on the top, he mistakenly put sugar on the top. And since he was alone, he was too embarrassed to ask the waitress if he could please get a new one. But he knew that if he would have been with his friends, he would have laughed it off and would have ordered a new one. But he was so embarrassed about being alone, making a silly mistake, he could not even ask his waitress for another one. It's like, wow, just loneliness can make you feel so just not confident, and I don't know, it has such an effect. Oh, excuse me, sorry. I apologize. Okay, sorry. Back to, I was just talking about how the man at the restaurant, he, you know, ordered some food, and he made a mistake, so because he was alone, he was too scared to speak up. And I also think, you know, I'm looking at this one website right now, and it's just talking about how all the negative effects of loneliness. And it says right here, loneliness can set into a motion of buried negative impacts inside the human body with the additional social contract. Some of the ill effects can be stopped. So it's, I mean, to a point, you know, you got to say, am I, you know, have I just got to get out and, you know, talk to people and, you know, socialize? And but I wonder what amount of people feel, you know, stuck inside of themselves in their head. And I found some more biological effects of loneliness, and what those do to us, you know, on the inside. And he has found, for instance, loneliness is tied to a hardening of arteries, which lead to high blood pressure, inflammation in the body, like this is even in your heart. So it's like your muscles are inflamed, your heart's going to be inflamed, that leads to you know, heart disease and cancer, you know, with an increased stress on your heart, it's really dangerous for you. And inflammation of the body, I just said that, and even problems with learning and memory. That's hard, like, you can't even comprehend things anymore, you get so, you know, depressed and stuck, and that's crazy. It says here, even fruit flies that are isolated have worse health and die sooner than those that interact with others. I just think that's interesting, that if you separate something in the study that I think really, made me emotional about this topic is I was looking for a news piece that I could use, and I stumbled across, it was the effects that isolation has on an inmate, and it was astonishing, because almost, and I want to say like 9 out of 10 times, that inmate ended up back in solitary confinement because that's where he felt safe. Like the cell that trapped him in was the one thing that made him feel safe again. Like I read three different stories of inmates that were in solitary confinement. The first man, he was he was 43 and he was in for half of his life. And when he got out, he turned right back to alcoholism, got 3 DUIs and was sent right back to prison and ended up in solitary confinement from segregation. Unfortunately, he was in a gang, but that's why he had to be segregated. The second story I read was a man in solitary confinement for 9 years, though, and when he got out, he had such bad vertigo that pretty much it stated that the only place that he felt safe was when he had his back up against a wall and he was like scaling the wall. He would scale walls, that's so he wouldn't have vertigo. And that's awful. And all three of these men ended up back in solitary confinement. That man ended up it was a robbery. He actually said that because he was in a gang for so long in the jail that he said that he was a threat to society, and so he felt more safe in solitary confinement, and that blew my mind. I guess if you know, be somewhere for so long, I guess you know, you get adapted to that, and that's where you feel safe. I just imagine feeling safe in a prison. That's, you must be a dangerous person. I mean, maybe not a dangerous person, you never know. I apologize for saying that, you cannot judge anybody. But I'm going to take a very quick break. I've got a song for you, I'll Show You by Justin Bieber, and I happen to like it a lot. I hope you do as well.
My life is a movie, and everyone's watching. So let's get to the good part and past all the nonsense. So girl, it's hard to do the right thing, but when the pressure's coming down like lightning, it's like they want me to be perfect. Life's not easy, and I'm made out of steel. Don't forget that I'm human, don't forget that I'm real. Act like you know me, but you never will. But there's one thing that I know for sure, I'll show you.
Song. For me, that's I don't know, not necessarily, I don't know, it's a newer song for me that I haven't really heard, and it really spoke to me, just because, I mean, I don't really like Justin Bieber, but I've got to play one more song for the end of my show, but I have to play it now. Here's Maxwell, Pretty Wings for you.
Bring the real end of our trial. One day there'll be no remnants, no trace, no residual feelings within you. One day you won't remember me. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always love you. I hope you feel the same. When my affliction had to fill out my prescription, found the way I'ma be, I had to set you free.
Still listening to DJ Risqué. I just wanted to play those songs, as you know, bring me a lot of peace of mind. I don't know why. A lot of the songs that remind me of my woman make me really happy, but I just wanted to close out today's show. You know, I know I've been hitting some heavy stuff lately. I don't know why. I feel like I like to talk about the things that maybe people don't address, out of comfort or what, but I don't know, I find a comfort in exposing things that, maybe people don't want to talk about. But I just wanted to end, today, November 5th, that I just want everybody to have a good rest of your day. From my experience personally, things are going to be hard, things are going to get hard, but they can only get better, If you're in a rut, you can dig a couple more feet, but you're going to come out. You're going to. I have faith that every single person I've met, well, besides some people, because where we are hindered our most is in ourselves. But I have faith that a lot of people can be happy again and find happiness, because that's so important. And that's what I really wish for everybody, is happiness and joy. Because honestly, that's a happy life, and that's the most important thing. Is not what you're doing, is what you're doing making you feel good. And I always appreciate you listening to DJ Risqué. This is my segment, Coping on the Court. I hope it wasn't too sad for you. Find some friends, do something, plan ahead for Thanksgiving. Just do something. You don't have to have a big feast and spend a bunch of money, but do something with somebody that means something to you, And if you're stuck in a situation that you don't want to be in, just do it. I'm going to make different plans for my Thanksgiving when I come home. And I'm not going to cry during Thanksgiving, because what's that going to help? So peace, love, take care, everybody. DJ Risqué out.